louder than you normally do. An old Italian man lived in New York, and he wanted to plant his annual tomato garden. But it was very difficult work, the ground was hard, and he was getting old. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son, explaining his predicament. "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm getting too old to be able to dig everything up. I know if you were here, all my troubles would be over. I know you'd be happy to dig the plot for me like the old days. Love, Papa." A few days later, "Dear Papa, don't dig the garden up. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny." 4 a.m. next morning, FBI agents, local police arrived, dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. The next day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny." Let's pray. Jesus, whatever the circumstance we find ourselves in, you are with us. You love us and want to guide us. Help us to spend our days investing in our relationship with you. Give us a hunger in our reading of the scriptures, in praying, in cultivating rich relationships within the Christian community. Thank you for the goodness that you enrich each of our lives with. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen. My text today comes out of 2 John, verse 1 to 13. Ernie's going to put it up and I'm going to read it to you. 2 John 1 to 13. "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we've been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning, let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the command, just as you've heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is deceiver and antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we've worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive and welcome this person into your house. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much more to write you, I'd rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings." Have you ever noticed how children are like sponges and they seem to soak up everything they hear and see? This is why they can learn languages so quickly. A friend of mine said, "You know, you can really mess your kids up. You can tell them left is right or right is left, or the sky is orange, or water is purple, and they'll believe you. They're so gullible." I think I mentioned to you that I have a friend who loves all things Saskatchewan. He grew up there and has lived many places, but in recent times, he's moved back. When his children were growing up, they were living in Alberta. One day in grade 3 or 4, each person in the class had to say where they were born and different things about their family. When it came to his daughter's turn, she said she was born in Saskatchewan, but the teacher disagreed with her, and there was a bit of a conflict. When she came home that day, she told her parents what had happened and how crazy her teacher was. And then her dad said, "Honey, I think we need to have a talk about something." He had told his kids they were born in Saskatchewan when they weren't. Even as parents, we aren't sure who we want to babysit our kids or who we want them to hang out with, because they can influence our kids. In one of the Calvin and Hobbes cartoons, they're playing Monopoly and Calvin's losing. So he decided to rob the bank because Hobb owns most of the properties on the board. This turns into a big fight. Things are thrown all over the room. In the next room, Calvin's parents are talking. His mom says, "Isn't it cute Calvin's playing both sides of Monopoly with his tagger?" Calvin's dad says, "I don't know. I overheard him using words that he didn't learn in this household." In our passage today in 2 John, the apostle's concerned about what's happening and influencing these young Christians in their faith. John is their spiritual father, and he wants to make sure they aren't swayed or tricked off the path of being true followers of Jesus. Likewise, we want to encourage each other to stay on the right path concerning truth and our faith in Jesus. 2 John 1:1, it starts by saying, "The elder to the elect lady of her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth." The Apostle John is the author, and he's probably believed to be around 90 years old as he writes this letter. He refers to himself as the elder. Everyone would have known that John was referring to himself because of his age and his position as a spiritual leader. The elect lady is referring to the Church of Christ. In other places in Scripture, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. The children are those who make up the church family. As John is writing, the Christian church is facing enormous persecution. And this may be another reason he does not use proper names, just in case his letter is intercepted. In the first four verses, the apostle used the word truth five times. What is the truth that John speaks of or is referring to here? It's the truth about who Jesus Christ is, God's Son born into our world, who lived a sinless life and modeled what God's kingdom should look like and will in the future. He is crucified to pay for the penalty of all people's sins of all time, and then is resurrected back to life, and now is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. The people who embrace what is true about Jesus love each other. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Verse 2, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. The good news or the gospel has changed the apostle's life. It had changed these people John's writing to who made up the church, and now it's changed our lives forever. It's the same way we count the years in our physical birth. How old are you this year? Don't say that out loud. We can count the years of our spiritual birth, and it all starts with Jesus. What is true about God's character today will be true tomorrow, and it'll be true every day that comes after it. What binds us or holds us together is not our favorite kind of ice cream, or our political stripes, or our economic standing, or our favorite sports teams, but it's the truth of who God is, the same God who lives and is dynamic in our world. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. These are gifts God extends to each of us. Grace, mercy, peace, love. We can head out of our house every morning, sending our kids off to school, dealing with health issues, knowing that we are not alone. Jesus is showering us with his goodness. Verse 4 and 5, I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you not as though I was writing to you a new commandment, but one that we've had from the beginning. Love one another. In somewhat of a simplistic format, the apostle is encouraging the church to do two really important things. First, obey the commands, and secondly, love one another. Jesus summed this up in the law of God and the prophets by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God put the Ten Commandments in place to protect our lives, not to ruin our fun. It's the difference of driving on a paved road or over a farmer's field with all the bumps, hills, and sometimes dugouts. I remember telling my son Josiah one time when he borrowed my Prius, stay on the road and don't drive on the fields. Like, you shouldn't think you'd have to say that. I won't tell you how that ended. Love should be a natural outflow for those who are followers of Jesus. At times, we may be surprised or disappointed that those who are connected to the church are not more loving. But I want to turn this around and say, instead of our focus should be on whether we are more loving and growing more and more into loving as Christ did. Our love should not be based on how another responds to us. It should be based on what Jesus is like. So don't waste time on how your neighbor should be acting, but grab hold of the reins and focus on your own heart change. You're responsible for your life, not your neighbor's. When we stand before God, each of us will give account of our own lives. I could just imagine being an eternity. Yeah, but Carrie said, but Carrie did, but Carrie, you don't want to hear about Carrie. Okay. Verse 6. And this is the love that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard in the beginning, you must walk in it. Has anyone here ever felt too loved? You can raise your hands at this point. Please stop it. I'm starting to feel like I belong, like somebody cares about me, that I'm valuable. I hate when I feel this way. It's because of love that Jesus leaves the throne room mentioned in Philippians 2. To humble himself as a slave in obedience to God, to die a criminal's death on the cross. Do you know whose place Jesus took? Who the criminals were? We're the criminals. And the penalty of our sins is death. In Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, it says, but God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. This is how true love responds. It's sacrificial, and it benefits everyone that's touched by it. Verse 7. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Throughout history, there have been people who have taken pieces of the truth that they like, and they've run with the piecemeal, if you will, and they discarded the rest into a convenient garbage can. In our text, John's probably referring to the heresy of Gnosticism that suggests that Jesus was only a spirit, which is not true. Again, suggesting that nothing of value could be done in the physical. Does it matter what you and I do with our physical lives and how we treat each other? Okay, this next exercise we're going to do excludes any siblings in the church from participation. If you don't think it matters what you do in our bodies, turn to the person beside you and punch them as hard as you can, and then see what happens next. Of course it matters what we do in the physical. I had to put that caution in for siblings. They don't know where to stop. Gnosticism ultimately denies Jesus' physical death on the cross and the salvation it brings. Today, we continue to have cults that spread a different kind of message than the one that Jesus proclaimed. So we must be aware and know our Bibles well. Often, when we hear the word Antichrist, it can lead us to an image of an evil individual or movement that is powerful and persecutes Christianity. But in fact, any movement or person who acts against Jesus is in fact Antichrist or against Christ. Verse 8 and 9, be on guard so that you do not lose what you have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both Father and Son. It's important for all of us that we know what we believe. We don't want to be tricked or fooled out of our relationship with God. Sometimes we might just read the Bible for what we want to hear. I had a friend who started coming to church, and then a whole bunch of calamity struck him. The person he was in a relationship with left him. He had an accident at work where he got injured and lost a body part. And he thought, if this is what Christianity is like, you can count him out. How many people read the Bible thinking, if we follow Jesus, nothing bad or hard will happen to us? If Jesus is our example, and he suffered on the cross for us, don't you think we might experience some suffering as Jesus' followers? We live in a broken world, and we're impacted by our own sin and that of our neighbors. But even in this brokenness, we have not been forgotten, not been left alone. God is with us. Verse 10, 11. If anyone comes in your home or meeting with you that is a false teaching, don't bring them in or encourage them in their false teaching. As elders of the church, we try to be very careful who we bring in to preach or teach. We want to make sure they handle the scriptures accurately. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. The last two verses, 12 and 13, are John's concluding words of being able to see these believers in person. So their joy will be made complete. When we have good, healthy friendships, it can fill us with joy when we see each other. A school teacher lost her life savings in a business scheme that had been set up by an experienced swindler. When her investment disappeared and her dream was shattered, she went to the Better Business Bureau. "Why on earth didn't you come to us first?" they asked. "Didn't you hear about the Better Business Bureau? Has anybody heard of it?" "Oh, yes," the lady said sadly. "I was known about you for a long time. But I didn't come because I was afraid you would talk me out of going through the business deal." Sometimes we're tricked because we choose to be tricked. Just like many people in John's day could not see the relevance of Jesus coming in the flesh in human form, there are many today that don't think he's relevant for them. You will hear people say, "Everything is relative. This is my truth. That is your truth." But the problem is that Jesus doesn't give us that option. The way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son, who leads us by the Holy Spirit. To encounter God is to encounter a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not the ones who get to set the agenda with God. Micah 6:8, "O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what it requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God." We have been fooled into thinking that we are leading this parade. When we are center stage and running the show, it does not go for well for us or anyone who depends on us. We also live in a culture that's ever-changing and attempting to declare greater freedom. But instead, we seem more lost than ever, lonelier than ever. In some ways, it feels like we're back in the 60s. All we need is more sex, more drugs, and less responsibility. They were searching for fulfillment, but they were looking in the wrong places. No political entity is going to save us. Neither is the next box office bestseller or the fortune teller in the mall. There's only one who can give us the fresh spiritual water we need and that we long for. When Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John 4, she says this to Jesus, "Give me this water so I'll never be thirsty again." There will always be people who float into the Christian community and then back out when a new fad comes, promising to fill all their needs with little input from them. Slip, slide, and away. To be a follower of Christ will cost you everything you hold dear. It'll bring you hardship, especially if you're willing to love the unlovely in our world or stand up to be a voice for the most vulnerable. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 10:39. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Sometimes you'll hear people say, I tried Jesus and it didn't work. Ultimately, what they're saying is, we gave 10% or 50% or even 80%, but we held the part back because we could not fully trust He had our best in mind. We know how to manage our lives better than God can. The wonderful thing about God is that He is incredibly patient and His love is unconditional. He will wait until we've tried everything else under the sun, all the while waiting with open arms to welcome us home. Let's pray. God, thank you that you thought we were so valuable that you've made us in your own image. We find at times it's so easy to lose our way in this mixed up world. It's so easy to become distracted by the secondary things. Come and fill us afresh again this morning with your Holy Spirit. Where you lead is where we want to follow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
be seated. I'm going to say a couple things, benediction, we'll sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed. If you're looking to do some reading over the weekend, the two philosophers, Calvin and Hobbes, it's great reading in there. I think they were a little ahead of their time. Have you ever had anyone try and control you? Emily. Okay, I got that hand. It's amazing. It doesn't seem to matter what age you are. There's somebody who has a wonderful plan for your life and somehow helping them create whatever they're trying to do in their lives. The thing that's so different about God is that he's trying to do the opposite of controlling us. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that the truth of God, actually, the goal of it is to set us free. Mm-hmm. Where others will attempt to come along and actually either attempt to control us, manipulate us, or give us bondage. He alone brings the freedom that lasts and lasts and lasts forever. Oh, one last thing. Let me encourage you to do this today. You could do this in the next 5 seconds, then you say, well, I checked it off. He said we should do it. Let me encourage you in the next couple of days to say to one person something that you're thankful for. Madam Blueberry in VeggieTales uses this phrase, a thankful heart is a grateful heart. And I realize that some very difficult and very hard things that you probably face even weekly. But if we can focus on the things that we're thankful for, it does something into the interior of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Feel free to stand with us as we close out. Sins, they are many. His mercy is more. week,